Everything is better with chocolate, even this podcast. My name's Ty Erickson, and I'll be your host of the Private Label Chocolate Podcast.
This is episode 7 of the Private Label Chocolate Podcast. Today we have Brian Durkee on with Palinoia Productions. We're going to be talking everything to do with videography. Brian does all of our videography. If you've seen any of our videos, let's get him on. Let's talk about what he does, how he does it, and what you should and shouldn't be looking for with videography. Brian Durkee, welcome to the Private Label Chocolate Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ty. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you taking the time to come join us today. We're going to talk a little bit about video, try to add some value to our audience on how they can market themselves through video. But before we do that, I just noticed, and we had talked about this, I had some random person's name on the outline, so I apologize. But I gave you the proper introduction. So in the podcast, you didn't get to hear it, but I promise I'll do a good job and introduce you as the right person.
I love it. I love it. That sounds absolutely perfect.
And that's probably an inside joke, and people that are listening to this are going, what in the world are you talking about?
The first question on the outline that Ty sent me was, who is Dave Hansen?
And if you're listening, you're a legend now because I left you on the outline.
Exactly, exactly.
And no, we're not talented enough to record this podcast on a whim. We're just not that good. We have to use outlines, you know.
It's professional. It's perfect.
Yeah, I've even got our logo and everything on it, so it's legit.
No, absolutely.
Well, hey, if we can take a few minutes, and before we get started, just so people know that you're not some random kid down the street that uses a VHS camera to make video. We're going to talk about video today. I know I kind of mentioned on that we're going to talk about videography, but the main thing is how to bring more value to your business through video. But if you will, not your life story, sorry, but if you'll just give a little bit of background on who is Brian Durkee, what's your professional background, what are you currently up to, and then once you kind of touch on that, then we'll talk a little bit more about what value you bring to your business and go from there. But
perfect.
What's your short story?
Yeah, short story. We'll get into it. So my name is Brian Durkee, as Ty gave us, and I run a video production company here in based out of downtown Salt Lake City called Palinoia Productions. And what we specialize in is creating kind of high quality video production without those prices that are normally associated with, you know, a full-fledged production company. So I started that about the business has been going for a little bit over a year now. I've been into video production for a couple years longer than that. And before that, I was a student at the University of Utah doing mechanical engineering. And so that's kind of how it led into that. It was a total switch of it after graduation, but I've been loving every second of it. And yeah, I don't plan on slowing down anytime soon.
Awesome. And as people would probably come to the conclusion, Brian does our video work. So obviously he's got other reels and sample reels and stuff like that that he runs. But if you've seen any of our video, Brian does our video for us. We could actually just go on and talk the next hour about the videos that we need to be doing, if you want to do that. So tell me this, what is, when you look at your business, and maybe you look at this question that I've got on here and it may not make sense, but the question I've got for you is, what value do you bring to your business? So what I mean by that is, for me, I'm more of like a sales and marketing guy than I am an operations or accounting person. What value do you see that you bring in your business? And I know would you consider yourself a one-man shop? Or
I would. I would say when it all comes down to, you know, decisions at the end of the day, it's all kind of just me making that choice and going from there. And then obviously bringing on people if we need to use them for bigger shoots and everything like that. But yeah, for the most part, it's kind of just a one-man show behind it.
So what about you drew you to videography, or what skills do you see in yourself that you add to your business that help it be successful? Like, is it the creative? Is it the editing, the photography, or is it just a combination of all of them?
Well, you know, I think, so I, growing up, I never considered myself, you know, a creative guy, you know, your typical artist who was always coming up with ideas and creating stories and everything along these lines. Mm-hmm. How I kind of started getting into it was I love technology, you know, engineering. I was always into finding the newest, latest technologies and mastering them and see how they work. And so getting into cameras, they can be a pretty advanced piece of gear and equipment to use. So I fell in love with that side of it. And then from there, I kind of found out and taught myself, hey, how you tell a good story, you know? So a skill that I learned is almost like a, you know, what's the word? An orator, someone who speaks stories and tells stories. And I think that's the value that I bring more so than, you know, a lot of, I hate to say it, but video production agencies kind of focus a lot of times on just beautiful imagery and, you know, having the latest and greatest gear. And I think the root of it that makes a good video production company is if they can tell a good story and create a connection with the audience through whether it be a 5 second or a 5 minute video.
So were you, when you say you didn't feel like you were creative earlier on, at what point did you recognize you could kind of draft out that story? What was it that you're like, oh man, I could create a story as opposed to just beautiful images?
Totally. I think that comes a little bit from how I fell into video production, where I didn't necessarily, in film school, they teach you, hey, you know, here's how you craft a story, beginning, middle, and end. And we all took English classes back in the day, and we know, like, the hero story of a hero who goes on adventure. You got to have a conclusion and introduction.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of just applying that from all my schooling and then applying it on your own. And when I knew I was saying, okay, this is something that I could do for a living, was when other people kind of told me, hey, you know, you tell a great story. You're really good at kind of drawing the audience in and creating this connection. And that's when I was like, okay, but you know, maybe I could do this as a job. And then from there, it's all history. A year of history, not that much history.
Yeah. Did you ever have fears of like, oh man, this is a saturated market, or did you not even get enough into the market? Do you have that feeling now? Yeah. I mean, especially in Utah, if somebody from outside of Utah, most of our clients are outside of Utah, but I mean, Utah, wouldn't you say is kind of a haven of videography because of all the weddings? Maybe I'm ignorant saying that.
No. I think you hit it right on the head, and it brings in an awesome point of, so my original plan was, you know, go to LA, pursue videography there, kind of get into the industry, as they call it down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do that. Decided to stay in Salt Lake because I met a couple clients early on. You were one of my earliest kind of clients once I started charging people for video.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was the first one you charged.
But you were, you
that
were
changes our relationship completely.
it was something where, you know, getting into it, I found that Salt Lake, it was saturated with a lot of wedding videographers, which in turn, that's a lot of people who are charging. I mean, a lot of people in Salt Lake, they're charged $600 to shoot a wedding. You go to Colorado or California, you're looking at like $3,000 to charge a wedding. My sister's in the middle of finding a videographer right now, and it's saturated in that sense here.
$600. I think back in the day, and see, you age me. I always felt like I used to be the young guy, but I'm not anymore when I talk to you. But I knew somebody that came and recorded my wedding, I think, for $600 with like one of those old big VHS cameras. And those were out of date even back then.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, I heard that most wedding videos now are like $2,000-$3,000 starting.
Oh, it is expensive. And everyone wants the best one here, especially in Utah. They want the best one because there's so many. But
except for me, I went for the VHS camera.
But the VHS has a certain nostalgic look.
It's called I Can't video. Tell Who That Is because the quality is not good enough. Sorry.
But yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, gear has become cheaper. So, I mean, your iPhone takes better video quality than the cameras I was recording on 3 years ago for the most part. It's crazy how fast that's advanced. And I think that's why it really comes down to the fact that videography and video production, the way you set yourself apart in it, is being able to tell a story, because everyone makes beautiful images now, and it's getting easier and easier.
Yep. So how do you, and we'll get into more, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I'll bring us back. How do you purvey, since we're going to talk about, you know, most of what we talk about is through sales and marketing, but how do you purvey that message when you talk to clients or people that are looking for a videographer? How do they know that you can purvey that story? Just through sample footage that you have, or how do you illustrate that for them?
Totally. So that's exactly, I mean, one of the best ways is talking to them, but I mean, you can talk the talk, but unless you can show them that you walk the walk, I mean, no one really feels that. So I was in a meeting last Wednesday, and we were talking about videos, and we're saying, okay, you know, I've seen all these videos before, and you know, I don't like them. And so I showed him the version of a video that I did, saying this is the one I was going to do for him, and they were blown away. They're like, oh my God, this is incredible. Why isn't everyone else doing that? And I think that's where it comes down to thinking outside the box and not necessarily just, you know, copying other videographers a lot of the time.
Well, and I guess as a testimonial, that was probably the same for me. I saw your videos on Instagram. That's when I reached out through Rev Motoring. I just gave him a plug. So should I send them a bill for that?
Yeah. Well, I'll send them an invoice.
They probably just sold a car just by me mentioning that. All right. So to bring us back, and I'm going to skip over some of this, and
then maybe we'll come back to it.
Tell us a little bit more about Palinoia. What is Palinoia? Where did that come from? I'm always interested as far as like names and branding and stuff like that.
Totally. Well, so that's one of the things that people always say with the company, have a easy, recognizable company name. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took the opposite end of that. I was like, I had a name that no one can really spell because no one knows what the word, I didn't know what the word means, but a friend told me about it about 4 years ago. And it's a word, it means the obsessive repetition of the obsessive repetition of an action until it's mastered or perfected, basically.
Gotcha.
And so that's kind of how I learned to create videos, was just practice, you know, staying up every night on the weekends and making new videos and trying to be better at editing, be more efficient. And so it's basically just practice makes perfect at the end of the day.
So tell me what's the normal process? Like if someone right now, and I'm guessing, I think, especially being in marketing and sales myself, sometimes I can be assumptive of like, you know, you just jump straight into it and you expect people to know what you're talking about. But let's just say somebody hasn't done a video before. What does that process look like?
Totally. And so
like if they don't even know where to start, what would they do? They contact you, and what does the conversation look like?
Totally. So normally meet up over email, text, phone, whatever works really. And I'll pull up, I'm meeting with someone tomorrow who has that same exact question, basically. And so I'll pull up my notes with him. But basically what happens is I start in and I go into the meeting and ask them, you know, I'll come to wherever they are, we can go get coffee, whatever it is, and ask them, why do you want to do video production in the first place? And a lot of the time people say, hey, I want to do it because I feel like I should do it. Everyone's telling me to do it, but I have no idea how to get into it. Mm-hmm. Which is the perfect answer, because then we can find out if it's right for you. You know, there's a lot of people who it may not be right for, and they just, everyone's telling them to do it, but I'll straight up tell them, hey, don't need this right now.
Yeah.
But most of the time, 90% of the time, when they do need it, what we'll do next is I'll try and find out their goals for video production. So let's say, for example, with Private Label Chocolate, for example, if I can use that, one of your goals right off the bat was, you know, increase exposure to customers and get immediate sales. I mean, that's kind of a goal that a lot of people have with video production. And so the best way to do that is find a way that you can create interest with their customer base or their new, or who they want to be their customer base, in a different way than they're currently doing it. And I think
for us to illustrate, my biggest thing was to illustrate what we do and what our product is. Cause how do you do that? Especially with chocolate, especially when your clientele is maybe not in state, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but.
No, not at all. That's exactly it. Is that takes it to the next step right there. So once we find out the goals of what people want with their video production, then from there, we'll take a step back and look at, okay, what's the first video? What's the first set of videos you want to do? And they can be explanation videos, which is kind of what you were just talking about there. Hey, here's what we're doing. Here's kind of why we're in the market. or you have interest videos, which are, I mean, I'm trying to think of a perfect example of someone who creates an interest video where it doesn't necessarily tell you about the product, mm-hmm. but it creates kind of an emotional connection where next time they see that name, private label, they're saying, huh, that looks like an interesting company. You know, I want to find out more about them.
Wait, so if we can take one step back, when you talk to people usually and they say, yeah, I want video and I see video, do they even know what that means as far as ways to share it with people? Or are they just saying, yeah, I want a cool video and not even knowing what to do with it?
Now, that's all over the board. I found oftentimes, not always, I mean, my one of my good friends now and one of my first clients coming to Salt Lake was he's in his late 50s and he knew exactly how we wanted to use video. He said, you know, I want to put on my social media, I want to run ads with it, everything like that. However, I noticed it tends to be younger clients oftentimes know where to put it on social media, and sometimes more aged clients say, okay, what do I even do with this video? And that's another step that I'm here for, is figuring out how you can market it, whether it be through, I mean, I'm not doing too much TV advertising, but most of it's social media, web, paid.
Is it hard for you to stay up with that? Because like, it's even now, my mind is, TikTok. So it's like now, you know, you've got Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, which I've never really got involved in. And I know there's certain businesses that have probably really done well in that space. Mm-hmm. But then like TikTok, and I'm sitting there going, holy cow, like I haven't even kept up with that, but that's predominantly video. Mm-hmm. So how do you stay up to date with everything that's going on?
So I basically look at it, and if it's something that I want to get involved in, I'll jump right into it. But if not, then I'll still educate myself on it so I know when I can recommend that to a client. So TikTok, for example, it's primarily done on your phone. It's quick and easy videos that you're doing, you know, where you're at, you know. There's not a big production value behind it. So I'm not too interested in that. So I don't do too much about it.
Like, but what about that video that you posted, the music video of you singing with the lip sync? Didn't you do that on TikTok?
I'm not sure.
just kidding.
You found my secret TikTok
account. I found your account, saw the one of you singing. I don't know what song it was, but it was you in the bathroom with a mop. Sorry, that was a lame joke. So TikTok's more, well, I just learned something. I didn't know it was predominantly like a phone thing, but.
Totally. I would never recommend someone hiring me or, you know, a videographer that you're paying, you know, any sort of fund to do your TikToks for you, because that's kind of marketing. That's like Instagram stories. You know, you should try to be able to handle that yourself or hire, you know, someone who just works hourly for you.
I was hoping to become famous on TikTok, but I guess that's not going to happen.
Here's the thing about it. Since no one's using that high production. Well, I mean, you and I, we meet up after this podcast, we make the best TikTok ever.
Me and my iPhone, your iPhone, some flashlights, some lighting.
We're good to go.
No, it is interesting though. And I, you know, that's what, intrigues me to ask that, because sometimes it is just a little bit hard to keep up with all of it. I mean, it's even like right now I spend most of my time on LinkedIn and their video format's a little bit different, and I just haven't had time to dive into that, but.
Mm-hmm. I hear you 100%. I hear you.
I haven't been able to spend time on that, nor do I see myself being able to spend time on that. So it's like, I would need to come to somebody like you to help me out from that aspect of just my video marketing, not my content marketing. I think I've got down, but the mm-hmm. video, it's like, I would definitely need some help with, but
I hear anyways. You. And that's, I agree 100%. I mean, it's a whole different kind of side of it than the production side. I consider myself very, very well versed in the production side, everything from start to finish there. Mm-hmm. And then distribution, I know plenty about that, but if we needed someone to come in, an expert who can, you know, target people specifically through different channels of social media, that's mm-hmm. something that I'll have someone come in and help us do that.
Yeah. And it's weird, even like, and I won't dive into too off tangent on this, but it's like Instagram TV. I sit there and I think about it. I'm like, okay, if I wanted to go a little bit more long form or short form, would you say that's more of a social media? That's more of a social media strategy than it is of a videography strategy, right?
I think so. But I will recommend, like, you know, if you have stuff, if you have a video for one, like, let's say we shoot a 3-minute video together, mm-hmm. explaining private label chocolate, mm-hmm. talk to your videographer, talk to your video production guy, or even a social media person, guy or girl, and have them chop it up and being able to put it on different avenues, you know, Instagram, a quick right. second, Instagram stories, 15 seconds, IGTV, put the whole thing on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might as well put it out there. It's kind of what everyone's saying of just put out content. And then what I specialize in is making sure your content is, doesn't suck, you know, making sure it's right. fantastic content
right.
that people will be interested in.
So moving on, who are your target clients? I mean, are they all over the place, or is there like an industry that you're finding yourself gravitating more to or spending more time doing video for?
You know, if I have a maybe not the most business minded answer for that, but I have my answer that I stick by and it's been working fantastic, is I just work with people who I like being around. That's mm-hmm. that's one of the benefits that I started to find that I loved about doing this kind of work, is I can kind of pick and choose who I'm with. And so, you know, guys like you, it's fantastic. I mean, we've gone on trips together, and it's fantastic just hanging yeah. out outside of the video work. But if you're talking kind of from the business side of target clients, it's, I like working with people who know they need to use video production and who are passionate about it too, mm-hmm. as much as you can be while still having, you know, your own hustle.
Right. How do you find your clients?
So at first, a lot of it was, you know, it was cold calling, it was outreach, everything like that. And now, I mean, a lot of it is kind of just word of mouth of, if you do good work, if you do right by people and charge honest prices, mm-hmm. It kind of just spreads around. So it's kind of just getting calls from day to day and going around meetings and doing that. And then every now and again, I'll post some stuff on my own social media, and that'll tend to bring in a couple clients. I'm not too passionate about the social media part of it, so I just don't find time to do that, you know?
Right, right. But how else would you get your work? I mean, there's really no better way to get your work out there, right?
No, that's exactly it. I mean, when I was trying to find kind of just new clients, and when I was first getting started, it was 100% that social media, ran a couple paid ads. And then one thing that I did a lot of the time, which I learned this from a guy on YouTube, that's how I learned just about everything, was this way of doing cold calls for video production. And basically, I create a quick website on my Squarespace template, and uh-huh. it takes about 2 hours to make. I think I've sent you one before, where I send them a website and it'll outline, hey, here's what we can do for you. Here are some uh-huh. ideas for this video. And then it'll outline, you know, cost, what you're going to get from me. And then, you know, our commitment to you and everything along those lines. So that's my way of cold calling. And if there is a client where, you know, I can't find any connection to them through my circle of friends or, you know, my circle of clients, then I'll do that. I'll send them basically a cold call email website.
Gotcha. Do you have a golden goose client? If there's like, do you have somebody that you're like, man, if I could just work on that, or?
You know, so there was one, I wouldn't say that a golden goose, because right now I'm very happy with everyone I'm working with, but it would mm-hmm. be really cool to work with them. And it was, you know, 2 years ago, before I even thought I could do this as a job, Cotopaxi in downtown Salt Lake had an opening for a videographer.
Oh yeah.
And so I applied to that, never heard back. And I even made a quick demo reel. We went to the store. I borrowed one of their jackets from the store. They're like, what are you doing? I was borrowing a jacket. I took my buddy out and we filmed a quick little commercial for him. And then I dropped him off on a USB drive at their shop. And uh-huh. I got an email back saying, hey, we'll get in touch. And then I swear I've emailed him probably every 3 months since then, just to see if they're interested still. And I still haven't heard back. So that's the golden goose that would be cool one day, but end of the day, I mean, it's no sweat off the bat. It's no worries.
You tried to connect with them on LinkedIn?
I've not tried on LinkedIn yet. I think
go link with them then. I'll go talk to them. I'll get on LinkedIn. I'll find them.
I'll
find your contact.
I mean, a lot of the time is, if I really want something, I'll go into that business every single day. It's kind of what you talk about with private label chocolate, going into the business, you know, every single day or every other week and really talking to people and really hounding them. Just about every other client where I've had to do that with, it's worked. I mean, people tend to gravitate towards people that they want to work with. And I figure if you're a good person to be around, then they'll try and work with you no matter what your business is.
Yeah, good people, genuine people like to be around good people and genuine people, you know, so it has a way of working out.
Exactly.
Give us some examples of successful clients that you've worked with. Like, what And maybe just some examples of work. And the reason why I'm asking this is maybe to spark some ideas in other people of what you're currently doing or what you've done and what you've found works. I'm hoping that if somebody's out there and they listen to this and they're going, yeah, I'd like to do a video, but I don't know what to do.
Totally.
Maybe just speak to that.
Yeah. So let's say, yeah, you want to start doing a little more video work and you want to find a way to monetize it, I guess would be the way to put it is, I mean, the best, if you're just starting off, is you got to do a little bit of spec work, I think. Not too much, but what spec work is basically is doing work for free to prove that you can do the work for paid.
Mm-hmm.
So so an example would be Rev Motoring. I mean, I just started doing videos. I wasn't even starting to really charge people at this point. And my buddy called and said, hey, you want to go shoot these supercars? And they're a car dealership. And I said, oh my God, absolutely fantastic. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. And I wasn't even thinking of, hey, this is going to cost money. This is going to be anything like that. Just, oh, I get to point a camera at an R8. This is awesome. So I did that and I made a video there and the company, they were really impressed by it. And so I've just been doing videos with them ever since. And it all started on doing one video for free. And now, you know, they're some of my closest friends over at the company there. And I mean, that one that led to another thing of just a couple months ago of going and shooting something with Rudy Gobert. And it was kind of the same feeling. It was something where they called me up and say, hey, do you want to shoot this thing? And again, my mind wasn't even thinking about money. It was just, oh, right. My God, yeah, this is an incredible opportunity. Let's make this happen. And then if they want to do more in the future, that's when we can talk about money. So I think it's accepting the fact that, you know, the money doesn't come instantly just like that, unless you're, George, who am I thinking of? Who's that director? Who directed Star Wars?
Oh, Lucas.
Lucas, George Lucas, yeah.
Well, and I would say your video is kind of your sales pitch, you know. It would be kind of like me going in and teaching someone how to use chocolate, you know, to build their business. I'm not going to go in and try to charge them to explain how they could use it. That's like my value-added pitch, you know, of saying, hey, here's why you'd buy chocolate. This is how you use it to build your business. So your video would be similar, you know, whether it's 30 seconds, 60 seconds, not saying that you couldn't show them somebody else's video, but I'm sure that's the best way for you to get in the door is to maybe give them a sample tasting. And then of course, after that, they're going to want more.
Absolutely. That, you know, that is 100% the best way to sell someone on something with video, because I mean, you can describe a whole video to them, but unless they've either done a lot of video production in the past or know how pitches work, I mean, it's so hard to envision that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong. So if somebody's looking to do video, I'm guessing, especially with us working together on stuff, probably the best way would be to do like a long form or to spend a day knocking out a bunch of content, right? And then coming back and using that for who knows how long in different ways. Is that usually the best way to do it, to set it up?
I think I would say yes and no, because it totally, totally depends. I mean, when we've shot videos together right off the bat, you're the man. You show up to set and you have your script and it's all practiced up. And
my makeup, tired. My eyeliner spot on. I got lipstick on.
You got everything. Your hair is groomed. I mean, you had the beard. I mean, I remember we were shooting one time and someone said you looked like you were out of a or something.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It was something like that, but I mean, you're pretty comfortable in front of the camera, especially the more that you've done it, you're pretty comfortable just getting up there and doing it. But some people, I would say the majority of people who haven't done it before won't be like that, and so when that is the case, oftentimes, you know, we can start slow and just come up, knock out, you know, an hour of shooting or anything like that if that's what they want to do, and then see what they can make from there. And then once people see themselves on video in kind of a short form version, that's when they're like, oh my God, I want to do more. This is incredible, you know?
Right. Do you find as far as getting that story out of them is difficult?
I like if we try to do it on set right in front of it, but how those meetings go when we're trying to form the story of what video we want to make and everything, if they have no idea what to do, basically, we'll just hang out and talk for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, however much time they have. If it's 20 minutes, fine. And I'll just talk to them and kind of extract the story from them and then help them build it. And from there,
but you won't sit there and interview them and film it. You won't do it that way, right?
Not always. I did have a shoot about 2 weeks ago where we did it like that. The guy said basically, hey, I need to do this, but I'm busy. I don't have time for a pre-production meeting. I have 3 hours, and we met up with him for 3 hours, and the guy was a superstar on camera. I mean, he just talked, and we were able to make an awesome video out of it.
Gotcha.
And that's the fun part about it. It is a very case-by-case basis. I mean, sometimes you're going to have people who should be in Hollywood acting, and sometimes you're going to have people who, you know, might need a secondary meeting or something to help figure out their story. But we always get it done, and, I mean, we won't finish up a project and we won't put it out there unless I'm super stoked on it and the client is overly joyed with it.
Maybe we just need to make a Paul Mitchell commercial.
I think that's and what I we need to do.
Maybe that's what I've been missing this whole time.
Just to
mix that in with the chocolate.
Maybe there was the beard and the chocolate. There was that one time you had the chocolate on your hand. If you,
yeah, we won't talk about that. I keep my hand out of the chocolate. Don't worry, I'm not.
It was in a separate bucket.
Totally separate. It's a lot greasier than what I thought. A lot more oily. Took a little bit to get it off my hand, but that's all right. So do you have like a format that you use, or is it kind of just like open game of like, look, obviously there's a plan of this is what we want to accomplish. Here's the videos we want to do. But do you have like a format? Do you ever use a format of like, okay, we need to do this many 30 seconds and this many 60 seconds, or we need to do a long form story. We need to do an explanation video. Do you have like a certain format that you talk to people about if they're just clueless and they don't know what to do or where to start?
Totally. So if they want just kind of something laid out and say, hey, how do we do this? That's when I'll give them some formats. But I mean, the open game of it, the open play, that's what keeps me excited. And that's what gets me going every single morning of being like, oh, what are we going to do today? So I have time to do that. If not, then there's always kind of an easy way to do the video for them, which would be, you know, whether it's, okay, start with kind of an intro of what's going on here, show the meat and potatoes, and then conclusion or pitch at the end, or, you know, whatever video it is. There's always kind of a format that you can show them.
Do you enjoy working with clients more so when you can be creative or when they kind of dictate how it's going to go? See, and I've had to catch myself with that because I got like so much content in my head. It's like right now we could probably schedule out 2 weeks and I could keep on coming up with content. But I begin to wonder if I'm my own worst enemy of like, man, maybe I'm just better off having somebody else do it because I'm somewhat in this box. You know what I'm saying? Like I sell myself on how great we are day in and day out. And maybe it's better that somebody else sells it.
No, I hear you. And that's actually, so that you sent over a script that I was reading over last night on the plane. And I had some ideas on that and kind of, we can figure that out after the podcast here, but it's kind of, it's fantastic both ways. I mean, I've never been bored. I've never been tired. I've never been like, oh man, I gotta work today. It's always fun because I'm doing what I love and I'm working with people that I love. But I do enjoy the creative side. I mean, that is one of the things that, you know, it's always fun to create something that's your own baby, but it's also fun to work with the client and figure it out with them.
So other totally off subject question that I got to ask, do you ever run into technical problems? Like I, and again, this is going to age me and maybe we're past those times, but I remember, well, and I think we've talked about this a little bit. Do you ever have it where you've gone through and you've filmed and you've done this great job and you get it into the computer and you edit it out and it just crashes?
Okay. So knock on wood. I mean, nothing like that happened has happened yet. Devastating point of like, oh my God, this completely ruined the project. We got to reshoot everything.
Right. No, but I mean like even editing, because you, what's the longest span you've edited like on one video?
Totally. It's been, you know, months and months. If they want revisions or they want to update it for, you know, keeping it in or something, sometimes I'll have these on my hard drives for months. And I'm looking at it right now. I have this big old thing that I back up basically all the videos on. So I have, you know, terabytes of footage of you on these hard drives. Looking at it now, but that's the thing is everything's double backed up. It brings me back to this quote that you know, it's one of my favorite quotes out there. I think Abraham Lincoln maybe said it. It was long ago, but
one of those guys, U.S. president or something.
I think I'm pretty sure he was a president, but it was, if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. Mm. And I think that I really take to heart of, you know, when I'm showing up to a shoot, I know everything's ready to go. I've doubled or triple checked everything, make sure batteries are charged, memories are clear. I have, you know, duplicates of all the most important pieces that I need. And like, for example, 3 weeks ago, I was on a shoot and one of my cables broke. And a lot of videographers, you know, if that cable broke, it's kind of like, oh, okay, we got to stop the shoot. I got to run the best.
Right.
That. But luckily I had kind of my bank of extra cables in my car and I was able to bring a new one out and we kept going. And so I think that's it, is redundancy, and then just preparedness. And it takes a while to build up that redundancy because, I mean, when you're first getting started, you don't have the capital to go out and buy, you know, extra batteries or extra cords. I definitely didn't have that at the beginning, so I just got lucky. But now it's at a point where, you know, all the money I've made from this, I've talked to you about this, basically it's all just going right back into the business and food. That's it. And so
yeah,
it's all just staying staying prepared and being very redundant with your stuff.
Anything else that somebody, that you feel like somebody needs to know about video?
God, I think the best thing you can do with video is, one of the best guys I watch out there, this kind of goes against it, is he doesn't focus on other people's work in the slightest. I mean, he'll watch videos to make sure he's keeping up to date with the times and if he sees a cool trick and everything. But I think one of the biggest mistakes you can do early, I don't want to say it's a mistake because practice is practice. If you're making videos, you're practicing. But is mimicking other people's styles. If you're going to be successful in it, I think the best thing that you can do is successful and happy doing it, you know, where you don't feel like it's, you're just following a set formula. I think you have to find your own style and play with it, you know, push the boundaries, make mistakes and learn from them. And I think that's one of the best pieces of advice you can give, is don't feel like you have to do it how everybody else is doing it, because everybody else is doing it a certain way right now. And you won't differentiate yourself if you follow that.
Right. No. And I would say the same thing. I mean, a lot of people think that I'm versed in the chocolate industry and I'm not. And to be honest with you, I don't want to be. I just want to be myself. I want to make decisions and do stuff the private label way, not based on reacting to how other people are doing it, you know? So I think that's great advice. Because I think that's important. I think people can get analysis paralysis and compare to other people's stuff. And I don't know, I think that only affects you, but if you kind of find what you're passionate about and find your lane and what you enjoy doing, like you were saying, I think you just stay in your lane and you be you and continue to get better at you being you instead of trying to compare and accommodate what others are doing. But
I think that's exactly it. And I want to bring up a point of, I mean, that's how I think you should do it in terms of finding the best balance of happiness and, you know, steady growth and everything like that.
Sure.
But there is something to be said of, you know, there's a bunch of video production companies doing, you know, certain stuff in a certain way, and you could copy their business model.
Sure. And
be hugely successful as a business, making money. If you're in it straight for the profit and you can, you know, and you're all right with that, then yeah, maybe you can copy someone else's kind of ideas and whatnot. But that's not how I roll, but there is something to be said of, yeah, strictly if you just want to do it for the business side of things and maybe follow a template, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I would agree with that too. I mean, success leaves clues. You can copy other people. Like you said, it's personal style and depending on what you want to do, I think it can work both ways. Any pitfalls that people should avoid? Anything that people should not do in video? I find that sometimes you can learn more from what not to do than what to do. Is there anything that you're like, oh man, don't do this or avoid this, or I've seen this happen, don't do it?
Totally. I guess a lot. Do you want more on the technical side from a videographer's perspective, or do you want more on the client side of
both? I mean, if there's both, if you have examples on either.
Totally. I think, I mean, from the technical side, we could go all day on this of, you know, formats, frame rates, you're shooting in sound, everything like that. But that is something that hopefully your videographer should be able to take care of. Making sure they, you know, they have good audio, working, redundancy is key on that. Oftentimes, if it's a big shoot and we don't have time to redo it, miking up your talent twice. So, you know, if one thing fails, you have the other one. Maybe even bringing an extra camera to set. I mean, I always have an extra camera in my car. And again, that goes back to building up the capital to do it. But that's a tip that I would make on videographers, if you can do that. On the client side of things, I think the best thing you can do, and this is hard to say because a lot of people already feel like they're drowning in not having enough time, and shopping around takes time.
Right.
But, you know, finding a videographer that you vibe with, finding someone who's going to get you your vision, someone who you're going to enjoy being around, because that's going to make your time better. And also prices. I mean, you go out and you buy a cell phone and you're looking at, you know, an Apple versus a Galaxy versus a Moto phone, and you can see they're all pretty similar in prices and for different features. But videographers, they're all over the place because most of them are like me, self-taught, you know, having no idea how much to charge. So sometimes you might find a videographer who is going to be able to do the project 10 times better at a third of the cost versus someone who's been in the industry and been doing it for 20 years. So they're going to be having those high prices, but they honestly might not be that good for you.
So where would be an entry level budget? Give the listeners, maybe if they are new to video, or maybe they've been doing it for a little bit, they're not that versed on it, where should they be looking price-wise? Like what should kind of be a healthy budget, maybe on the small end, medium end, large end? What should people expect?
Totally. So I can tell you where I live at with my budgets, they vary. The price range is $1,000 to $4,000 about, and then a project minimum of 600. I just won't really try and do anything under 600 because it's just, you can get bogged down in those smaller projects. But there are thousands of people out there who specialize in those smaller projects who, if you just need someone to come over and, you know, shoot a house for you or shoot a quick product video, you know, they can do it for, you know, maybe $150 for you. And it might not, it won't have all that and experience and everything that you get when you pay the higher price, but sometimes you don't need that. You just need a quick video.
Would you ever recommend try to do it on that lower level themselves?
Yeah. And I 100% recommend that is, when I know a client, when I work with a client and I can tell they're kind of skeptical of, you know, saying, I can't afford, you know, $2,000 every week for one of these videos, I'll basically sit down with them and try and teach them themselves of, hey, here's how you can work the camera. Here's how you can do a quick edit and stuff like that. Because I think, yeah, bringing your video marketing internal, if it's pretty basic and you don't need that super high production quality, it's a no-brainer with the technology that we have today. And then obviously you have the other end of, you know, $20,000 to $80,000 production budget.
Oh my word. And I've seen some real gnarly work, meaning bad work, for some crazy prices. Crazy. Oh, yeah. Like it's unbelievable.
It exists out there. Quick Google search and type in, you know, standard video production budgets, and you can find some work where it's like, yeah, we $1,000 for this, and you look at it and you say, oh my, what? Like how?
Right. It's pretty crazy.
And that's why I say shop around, because I mean, it really is all over the place when it comes to.
Well, and referrals are probably a safe space too, in talking with people that's worked with someone. Cause I think that's where you would avoid pitfalls. Cause I have talked to people like, I spent $15,000 on this video and it's crap, you know, and I had no clue that that was going to happen. So I think, referrals is probably the best way, and find multiple people or, look at their work or talk to different people that have worked with them. It's probably a pretty safe way to figure it out.
No, absolutely. I think that's hit it right on the head of, if you find someone you trust saying they trust this person, then that's one of your best ways to go about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how can people get a hold of you, Brian?
So people can get a hold of me by pigeon mail.
Snail mail there. They can FedEx you a letter if they'd like to inquire about video services.
That's exactly it. Yeah. That's how we do it. But other than that, I mean, it's any way really, phone, email, text, whatever works. My phone number is, do you want me to give my phone number or just throw that on later?
If you want to, unless people are going to spam you. Is that the best way to, I'm just kidding. They're not going to.
No, I'm not worried. If they do,
our,
so be
our
it.
Five our five listeners will leave you alone, I promise. But I mean, how do you prefer to be contacted? Is it text or email or social media or what?
You know, when it's clients that I've worked with in the past, they're good with absolutely whatever. New clients, email is nice because then I can kind of, you know, take time to explain longer things to them.
So let's give out your social media and your email.
Totally. So social media is at Brian Durkee, BRIANDURKEE. And my email is BrianDurkee28@gmail.com. And that's BRIANDURKEE28@gmail.
All right, dude. Well, I appreciate your time. I've probably taken enough of your time. You still got, you're still young. So you're out and about tonight.
Not in the slightest. I'm about to sit down and edit some stuff. So not in the slightest.
What are you working on right now?
So what we're working on right now, this is actually a pretty fun project. It was the one that was on my Instagram story the other day with, you know, those two guys in suits and that lady smoking a cigarette in between them.
That wasn't weird at all.
it was probably one of the most interesting shoots I've been on this month, but absolute blast. It's for a event in December, and they're going to be hosting it at the Grand America. So I'll send that your way when it's all done, but it should be a fun
video. I'll be interested to see. All right, man. Well, again, appreciate your time. We'll have to do this again. Maybe we could focus more on something that's a little bit more detailed, whether it be a short video or creative or something like that. But we'll have you on again.
Yeah, if that's what we got to do, we can do it. We'll make it happen. Until then, Ty, thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. And we'll chat soon.
Okay, we'll see you.
Okay, bye-bye.